This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 15th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, one geology professor weighs the odds of an earthquake impacting Illinois. And a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. A rural Urbana man appears in court today to face charges of aggravated criminal sexual abuse and juvenile pimping. The case stems from a tip Champaign County Sheriff's Police say they got this week that led to a search warrant for a house on Airport Road, where they say they found DVDs and tapes. State's Attorney Julia Reitz says John Haywood and an Urbana woman, Pearl Bigham, are accused of luring at least 5, 15, and 16-year-olds into the enterprise.
Witnesses reported that Ms. Bigham would make arrangements for the girls to be introduced to Mr. Haywood, be brought to his home, and he engaged in sexual acts with the girls in his home. They then were brought back to Ms. Bigham's home.
Reitz wouldn't say how the tip came in or how the county is working with the girls allegedly involved. Bigham is charged with juvenile pimping and is to appear in court next month. Reitz says the investigation goes on and more charges may come of it. George Ryan's lawyers asked an appeals court yesterday to throw out the former governor's racketeering and fraud conviction. Attorneys for Ryan and co-defendant Larry Warner say the jury that found them guilty following a six-month trial last April was prejudiced by serious mistakes on the part of U.S. District Judge Rebecca Palmeyer. In the 90-page appeal brief, they urged a new trial for Ryan and Warner. Ryan's lawyers pounded away at the same arguments they made in getting approval for him to remain free on bond pending the outcome of his appeal. Ryan has been sentenced to 6.5 years in federal prison. O'Hare International Airport's primary radar system is down, leading to delays that are expected to grow as the day progresses. A spokeswoman for the Chicago Department of Aviation says O'Hare's airport surveillance radar stopped operating at about 3:30 this morning. Spokeswoman Wendy Abrams says there are no major flight delays, but that will likely change. The Federal Aviation Administration says the airport is using a backup system in Tinley Park until service is restored. Considerable cloud cover is also leading officials to leave more time between arrivals and departures, which will cause further delays. Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says sending more troops to Iraq would be a, quote, terrible decision. Durbin says the military already is pushed to the limit, and it would be a mistake to send troops that have already served back to Iraq.
What message does this send to the Iraqis? That instead of fielding their own soldiers, their own police force to defend their own country, we're going to keep sending more and more American soldiers? I believe that really relieves the Iraqis of the ultimate responsibility they should have to protect their own country.
Durbin's comments come in response to some increased pressure for more troops in Iraq. Senator John McCain renewed his call for 15,000 to 30,000 more troops in Iraq. But Army officials say they can only send up to 15,000, and the end of the war would have to be in sight. Otherwise, they say it would drain the pool of soldiers ready for combat. Students who applied for early admissions to the University of Illinois will be able to find out later today if they made it into the state's flagship campus. It's the first time the school has made a mass admission notification available online. About 13,000 students applied for early admission this year, turning in their applications by November 15th. A second set who apply by January 2nd will be notified on March 1st. The U of I used to put together each year's class piece by piece over several months. Officials say the new system is designed to decrease student anxiety about whether they made it into the school. About 7,000 students will be accepted for next fall's freshman class. The author of a bill limiting the NCAA's ability to regulate college mascots has an ally in an Illinois congressman across the aisle. Chicago Democrat Danny Davis sits on the subcommittee that will hold a field hearing on the bill at Parkland College today. It's aimed at keeping the NCAA from enacting sanctions against member schools that have mascots deemed hostile and abusive. The University of Illinois' use of Chief Illiniwek has led to a ban on postseason tournaments on campus. Davis says while he personally opposes the chief symbol, the U of I should be free to use it.
Colleges and universities should really be in a position to pretty much manage and determine things for themselves. So, I mean, I would be in agreement that it's not much of a role for the NAACA to play in this, other than, you know, leave it alone.
However, Davis doesn't expect the bill to make it out of the House before the end of the 109th Congress, nor does he think it will gain much traction in the next Congress when Democrats assume control. 15th District Republican Jim Johnson is the bill's chief sponsor. He helped organize this morning's field hearing at Parkland. It begins at 10:30. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Foster. The federal government and some cities are busy preparing for the big one, the next quake to hit the New Madrid seismic zone that stretches from southern Illinois to Arkansas. An official with the Federal Emergency Management Agency has called it a top priority. But a Northwestern University professor thinks most of that money spent preparing for a quake is better spent elsewhere. Lynette Kalsnes reports.
Geology professor Seth Stein thinks the New Madrid fault system might be dying.
And what's fascinating is it looks to me like there's a pretty good chance that we are actually at that moment. We are seeing a major fault system shutting down. Something that's been going on for several thousand years, and we happen right now to be seeing it going shutting down.
Stein and his colleagues studied the temperatures of rocks deep below the zone.
The way rocks work is kind of like road tar, that when they get hot enough and weak enough, they flow.
That would make earthquakes more likely there. Instead, they found the rocks weren't hotter than at other sites in the eastern U.S. Stein has spent part of his career studying the famous fault zone. In the early 1800s, New Madrid produced three huge earthquakes in a single winter. Witnesses said the ground rolled like waves, church bells rang in Boston, and the Mississippi River briefly flowed in another direction. But Stein says GPS devices are showing little to no motion across New Madrid these days.
The next really big earthquake we'd be worrying about, if the fault continues to be active, is hundreds of years in the future. If the fault is in fact dying, then we could be talking about thousands of years. And I think the thousands of years is probably a more likely scenario.
Stein says he thinks there's a greater risk of big earthquakes in California than St. Louis or Memphis. While he thinks those cities should take precautions, he doesn't think it makes sense to make them build to the same code as California. But the head of a partnership between eight states in the zone and the federal government says it's too soon to change policy. Jim Wilkinson of the Central U.S. Earthquake Consortium says there are a lot of conflicting theories, and a prior study by Stein generated some controversy. Some scientists have questioned if theories about what causes earthquakes in California apply here. Wilkinson says the scientific community needs to review the study and reach a consensus. Meantime, FEMA spokesman Brian Bowman says his regional office needs to continue to be prepared.
For us to just go around and change everything on a, you know, on a dime, you know, we can't do that here in Kansas City. So we're going to wait for our leadership, you know, tell us what the next steps are. Until such time that we get different guidance, our guidance is preparing for this event that could actually happen because, quite frankly, who knows, maybe it actually could.
Stein and his fellow researchers recently presented their findings to the American Geophysical Union. I'm Lynette Kalsnes.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly sunny skies today with a high around 50 degrees. Partly cloudy this evening, a low in the mid-30s. Light winds becoming south 10 to 15 miles per hour after midnight. Mostly sunny Saturday with a high in the upper 50s, with a chance of rain with a storm coming up from the southwest on Sunday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 15th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.